Now's a time when things are shifting. There's gonna be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
This is End Time Headlines, and it is Monday, April 11th, and it is 1 p.m. Eastern Time here in my neck of the woods in the state of Georgia. We want to welcome you to the broadcast today. If you are new to the broadcast, this is your first time joining us, let us know in the comments section below, whatever platform you're watching from, whether it be Facebook Live, Rumble, YouTube, or wherever it is. If you're new to the broadcast and this is your first time, let us know in the comments section below, and let us know where you guys are joining us from as well. And again, as always, I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, and this is End Time Headlines News and headlines from a prophetic perspective. We're going to continue to stir the hornet's nest today. And what do I mean by that is one of our recent, I received an email from Google, and one of our recent podcasts was flagged by them because it was considered to be, it was labeled as dangerous and derogatory content. The content in which was flagged, you ask? It was regarding the emergence of a new world order that is no longer being hidden. That was the content in which was flagged as dangerous and derogatory content. Well, it's interesting because our leader, our president of the United States, flat out came out and said that a new world order is now being established and we as an America must lead the way. It's interesting that nobody said it, nobody blinked an eye when he said that. But you let podcasts and blog sites and any individual that comes out and relates that to prophecy in any way, form, or fashion, well, that's dangerous and that's derogatory. So today we're going to continue just stoking the flames. And we're going to show you some stuff today. I'm going to show you today that we're seeing more groundwork being laid for a future global system of buying and selling. Again, if you're just joining us today, we're going to talk about more groundwork is being laid for a future system of buying and selling. We'll show you where that's at. Most of you already know where we're going with this. But look at this. This is an actual headline, World Economic Forum. Again, this is the organization that is spearheading this, is calling for a one world currency. Some see this as a Tower of Babel doomed to collapse, which is very interesting to me because this was from Breaking Israel 365 News, and this is exactly what we've been saying, that it's a parallel of. I'm going to pull that up again. This is Genesis 11, 1 through 4, and we're going to read a little bit about this, what was recently said at this World Economic Forum conference, and why, again, I believe it's more stepping stones leading to this. Let me read this, Genesis 11, 1, 4. Look at the verbiage used here. Now the whole earth had one language, one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said one to another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone, they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So we see here that, again, there was a unification of one language, one speech, one purpose, one agenda. They wanted to build something for themselves with their agenda to make a name for themselves. Again, this was the first picture of an establishment of a new world order. Dr. Philippa Pippa Malmgren, who is a technology entrepreneur and economist, recently spoke at the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum being held in Switzerland this past week. At this meeting, she dropped a bombshell prediction. Listen to this.
And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. But also, this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private, but what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well.
These are not my words, Google, but you'll flag me for quoting someone who just said this at a World Economic Forum, for quoting what the President of the United States says. So I quote, it means having an almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy globally, which, look at this, will give us, who's us? Us as in the powers that be, us as in the governments of the world. It will give us far greater clarity, understanding, knowledge, information over what's going on. I mean, because we all know that they don't have enough clarity. They don't have enough power. They don't have enough knowledge. They don't have enough information. It's not enough to monitor our phones, our smartphones, our computers, our smart televisions, and everything that we do and everything we say and everywhere we go. That's not enough. It's not enough to track you, Google, everywhere you go, every place you make a transaction at, and everything you say pops up on the phone. That's not enough. We got to take it a step further. We need to know every single penny that you spend, sir, ma'am, because we need to know if it's going to be approved by us. Look, I don't even know if we'll be able to put this on YouTube, who is owned by Google. But I'm just letting you know there is a system being put in place that will heavily monitor every transaction. And this is one of the steps that they're going to do this with. And if you are funding with your money, and they will know because every transaction will be monitored digitally, if this is where we're going, if you're funding organizations that they don't approve of or they don't like, well, guess what? It won't be good for you. You will be penalized. You'll be scrutinized. Your business could go under if you don't comply by the ESG rules, economic, social, and governance. Unlike current cryptocurrencies, the system that Malmgren describes here will give the central banks complete control over people's money. The banks will be able to track every transaction and even control how it's spent, blocking it from being transferred to people or organizations, here it is, that it deems to be undesirable. I know this kind of rhetoric is dangerous and derogatory. Quote, this may sound like a dystopian sci-fi scenario of the distant future, but this was already seen in Canada when, without a court order being put in place, Prime Minister Trudeau, used emergency powers to order banks to freeze accounts of individuals who donated to the Freedom Convoy. Remember that? That happened. Crowdfunding sites were also forced to return millions of dollars that had been collected for the truckers. Quote, the Biden administration also access bank records to track bank account, debit card, or credit card purchases made in Washington, D.C. during the January 6th riot investigation of the Capitol. That happened. In October, even greater government outreach was avoided when the Biden administration backed down on a proposal to direct the IRS to collect additional data on every bank account that sees more than $600 in annual transactions. But I'm the conspiracy theorist here, right? I'm dangerous and derogatory. Let me give you another quote here. I'm going to pull this up here. We'll probably hop around here a little bit. Look at this. Bank of America says it's not a matter of if, but when. They say a digital U.S. dollar is inevitable, and it will likely come between the year 2025, which is 3 years from now, and 2030. So this is not something that's 10 years out, guys. Again, I want to say that again. I want to repeat that. Bank of America is saying that a digital U.S. dollar is inevitable.
It's not imminent, but our next guest says the U.S. adoption of a digital currency is on the horizon. Here with more on the risks and benefits, Alkesh Shah, Bank of America Global Research, Head of Digital Asset Strategy. Alkesh, thanks so much for being here. So realistically, how far away are we from a digital dollar? Because the Fed just issued a paper on it, but they kicked it over to Congress, where, as you know, things can move slowly.
Yep. So it's not near term. There's some work to be done, especially to figure out considerations like privacy, the current banking system, how to make sure that, you know, liquidity is maintained in the banking system. We really think, even though we think a digital dollar is inevitable, that it's probably not till 2025 to 2030.
According to the report from Bloomberg, the U.S. will likely move forward. And by the way, the Biden administration has already put their stamp of approval on this. They will move forward with their own digital currency, with the issuance occurring between 2025 and 2030. According to the Bank of America Corporation, U.S. government-backed coins, also known as central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, are inevitable evolution of today's electronic currencies. Let me say that again. The digital currency is inevitable, and it is an inevitable evolution of today's electronic currencies, according to two strategists who wrote this piece in Bloomberg, went on to say that the use of digital currencies issued by private entities will probably continue to grow, emerge, and evolve. The quote, the Federal Reserve discussed developing its own coin in a 35-page paper, saying the paper was just a first step and it didn't intend to proceed without support from the White House and Congress, which they already have gotten. Because this article that I'm speaking of here from Bloomberg is an older article. And a recent update is, again, the White House has already put their stamp of approval on it. An executive order to advance this. A quote, a digital dollar could have a range of benefits, such as making cross-border payments cheaper and faster. That's the benefits of it. But I want to read something else here. But others are highlighting what the dangers of this is. This is from Newsweek. In some respects, quote, a digital dollar would be similar to our existing print currency. The Federal Reserve would continue to set policies and interest rates tied to the currency, and people would be able to pay vendors with their existing bank accounts, a credit card, and debit cards. There are, however, substantial differences. For starters, a digital dollar would, by definition, not exist in print form. Once the transition to a digital dollar is complete, you will not be able to go to the bank or an ATM and get physical cash out of an account that contains your digital currency.
Using banks as we know them could soon be a thing of the past. President Biden ordered the Treasury Department to consider creating a government-regulated digital dollar.
It would be probably as simple as opening up an app and you could have some banking services, including loans.
Peter Rodriguez is the dean at Rice University School of Business. He says digital currency likely would not replace the physical dollar, but it could cut out the middleman. Banks.
If there's another way that we can buy and sell stuff without putting our money in the bank, where are the banks going to get the money to lend? And so that's one of the concerns that the Fed has expressed.
Craig Perong teaches finance at the University of Houston. Both educators say Bitcoin and the digital dollar are similar, but different in many ways. Perhaps the biggest difference, Bitcoin is unregulated and U.S. digital money would be regulated.
But the difference with Bitcoin comes in a limited capped quantity, and here the government could create as much as it wants.
And Bitcoin's value changes often, but a digital dollar could be tied to the actual U.S. dollar, making its value more stable.
But it's possible that as a result of this order, you could see certain cryptocurrencies no longer be viable. Everyone will move to hold the most stable, the most viable one in the long run.
But more importantly, and I quote, a digital currency would likely be designed in a way that would give government and or the Federal Reserve a substantial control over its use and supply. The Federal Reserve could, for example, simply create more digital dollars with the push of a button and distribute them at the drop of a hat. Similarly, it could just as easily take digital dollars away from banks through a variety of monetary tools. Digital dollars, clean out your ears, folks. Digital dollars could easily be tracked by banks, federal agencies, and Federal Reserve. They could also be programmed to control the kinds of things people can buy. Oh, you didn't hear that. Let me say that again for the back row. A digital currency could easily be programmed to control the type of things that people can buy. How much can be purchased at a single time or any number of, quote, variables? In short, the development of a digital currency could present the most dramatic expansion of federal power in the history of mankind, depending on its design. Wow. The Biden administration's recent executive order plainly states that, quote, financial inclusion and equity, as well as limiting climate change and pollution, must be key considerations in the development of a new central bank digital currency and digital asset regulatory schemes. Again, What does that mean in layman's terms?
How would you describe what I said ESG scores were going to mean in the banking industry?
ESG, environment,
governance
and social justice, mm-hmm. right? That's the ESG, what they stand for. And the basic concept, and I know you go into much more depth on this in your new book, The Great Reset, which is coming out in January. But in the
I'm looking for a general, what your take is on that?
Basic concept is you just being a profitable business is not enough. You need to hit these standards that make the world better by their view. And the ESG standard is like basically going to give you a score. Do you do the things that essentially the left wants you to do with your business or even in your personal life? So if you are, for example, buying a gas guzzler car, your ESG score would be lower. If you're donating to anti-LGBTQ causes, you would be seen as a, that would be a negative in your ESG score. And so these things would punish you, and maybe you would get rejected by banks. Maybe you wouldn't get the loans, the banking services you need. Maybe you get higher rates.
That's crazy.
Is that
That's it. That's it. But that's, remember, that's crazy. Because I said this about Merrill Lynch. Merrill Lynch is now posting ESG scores. Your ESG score. Did you know you had one?
Posting it?
Posting it.
What does that mean, posting
it? Posting it. You go sign into your Merrill Lynch account, and you will see your ESG score. ESG score.
Oh, my God.
Based on what you are investing in. Okay? So if you want to, if you want your ESG score to go up, you better reallocate some of the money and get out of some of these brown industries.
Right. And then you get this thing that goes on where people now will start lobbying to have positive ESG. This is happening with nuclear energy right now, where they're trying to get nuclear energy to be a good thing for your ESG
Because it
score,
is.
Because it is, at least for the environmental part of that, you know, no emissions and everything. And they want to develop new nuclear energy, but they can't do it until they get this
ESG score,
this stamp of approval from the ESG masters.
Okay, so back in March, I said Merrill Lynch had put this up, And they were going to use this now to start judging you. Merrill Lynch and Bank of America responded immediately. The fastest response to anything I've ever seen in literally in anything we've ever done. It was an immediate response. And they said, many of our self-directed clients have expressed an interest in applying an ESG lens to investment opportunities. And I'll define ESG lens in a second, but a lot of clients say they want to look at investments that they're considering making and looking at them through the lens of environmental, social, and governance information. And this is just to help them assess the opportunities and the risks if they want to. It's completely optional. These ratings are available. Not everybody uses them, but I mean, they have absolute no impact on any individual's credit or the ability to access any of our other services at all. Okay. That was back in March. Now that's Bank of America. Let me give you this story from Citigroup today in Bloomberg. Citigroup will eventually expect borrowers to have a credible plan for measuring and reducing their carbon footprint as part of the bank's pledge to achieve net zero greenhouse gas emissions. So they have made a promise to the globe.
I promise you
that we're gonna have zero net emissions on all the loans that we make. We will not hurt Big Blue. We're not going to do it, you losers. So for them to have no emissions, zero net emissions, that means they can't loan any money out to people who are investing in brown industries. Do you, what's your ESG score? Who are you investing in? Because we can't invest in you if you're investing in anything brown. The firm says they are still formulating plans for how it will go about pulling off its pledge. Chief Executive Officer Jane Fraser said Tuesday at the Wall Street Journal CEO Council Conference, when asked how the firm would respond to a natural gas driller looking for a 30-year loan to build infrastructure, Fraser said, well, it'll start with a conversation. If they don't have a credible plan and they're not able to come up with targets and metrics and disclosures, then it'll be a shorter conversation. Citigroup's climate plans are a key push for Fraser, who made the pledge to achieve net zero emissions by 2050 on her first day. Fraser was one of the many financiers who descended on Glasgow earlier this year for a climate summit, where she called for global leaders to set consistent sustainability standards that would make it easier for clients to invest in green projects. She said her firm isn't a fan of the idea of simply asking clients to dispose of any so-called brown assets, which would just shift the problem to a new owner. She cautioned that banks also have to consider the ramifications of quickly pulling support for carbon-laden industries without any backup plan. If we're shutting down a lot of brown assets in certain communities, and then we're not providing alternative employment sources and driving finances into local entrepreneurs and building out the alternatives, this is going to be a very unpleasant and socially unpleasant transition that we all have to go through. Now, we actually don't all have to go through that. No, huh? No, you're deciding, you and those of you in Davos. This is the Davos plan. You know, you always say, oh, man, they're all just these great guys going to the ski resort, you know, talk about money and things. And it's great that they're all getting together in Davos. This, the Great Reset, is from Davos. It is the Davos plan. I don't know about you, but I haven't been invited to Davos in quite a long time. Oh, in fact, never. Have you? Your voice isn't being heard in this. You're just going to have to go through that really socially unpleasant transition that we all have to go through. Because why? Why do we have to go through this? Oh, that's right. Because they've decided. You don't have a say in it. So when they said, you know, we're not going to do this, you know, on loans, it's that's ridiculous. It's not going to have an effect on anybody. Yes, it is. This is one step closer now to the Great Reset. This is one step closer to you not being able to get a loan for something you want to do. And if you want to buy a dirty old house, oh my gosh, what are your plans to make sure that that's a greenhouse? What are your plans to make sure that that doesn't take all that oil to heat that house? I mean, we'll help you. You just have to take out a loan, you know, to make sure you do all that. Oh, that might be a loan you can't afford. Then maybe you shouldn't have the house, but we can sell it to somebody like BlackRock who has the money. And they have the credibility with the bank to be able to turn that into a green house. And then you can rent it from them. See how this is working?
And that is fact. That's exactly what Trudeau did in Canada. He cut off transactions from those who he deemed to be dangerous and a threat to society, and just cut them off monetarily. Again, in Revelation 13, it speaks of a system that will be put in place by the false prophet and the Antichrist that will require all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, that no one will be able to buy or sell lest they have the mark, the name, or the number of the beast. Now, again, look at this. This is a system in the future that will control buying, selling, and trading lest you comply to that system and those who are ordering and regulating and leading and controlling that system, which again in Revelation 13 is the Antichrist and the false prophet. So again, guys, listen, we knew this was coming. We don't know how long the watchmen are going to have a voice on big tech platforms, Facebook, Google, which includes YouTube or any platform like that, Twitter, Instagram, these big tech platforms. We don't know how long we're going to have a voice to keep doing this. because they're flagging content, they're shadow banning it, they're censoring it, they're removing it, they're deleting it, they're taking down whole pages and accounts, they're doing it all over the place. And again, why? Because they're deeming any voices that are, and again, what are we doing? We're simply sharing with you what they are saying. And we're showing you where it's heading, and that's considered to be dangerous and derogatory. So this is why, again, this is why we've encouraged you guys over and over again to download our free app. It's right there. Just go to the App Store, go to Apple, go to Android, depending on which device you got. You need to download our free app. If you're listening to this by Spotify or Apple, guys, we don't know how long we're going to be able to stay up on those platforms. So you need to download the app. So this way you can be notified of all of our headlines. You can listen to all of our podcasts. You can watch them. As long as you have the app, you'll be able to keep up with and know what we're doing. Listen, if YouTube shuts us down, we have a backup. We're going to continue to keep going. As long as the Lord permits us, we're going to have a voice. We're going to have a platform. And we're going to keep going. But the path is getting narrower and narrower and more narrow. It's getting more compressed. It's getting more difficult because, again, we knew this. We knew that this was going to happen. We knew it was inevitable. And it was only a matter of time until, again, that every voice out there that is a voice of truth, that is showing the people and opening their eyes to what's going on and where we're headed, they will be taken down. It's a prelude to what's going to happen, guys. We are the church, the ecclesia is the restrainer that is restraining the Antichrist from coming to full power and revealing his agenda. Listen, if you think it's bad now with censorship, now with suppression, wait until the church is removed and the Antichrist comes to full power. You ain't seen nothing yet. What you read about in India, where a YouTuber in India who recently converted to Christianity was on there and he said something that was considered derogatory towards Muhammad, and he was completely, removed. Listen, it's not like America where his YouTube channel would be removed. He's getting 10 years prison time on blasphemy charges. If you think for a moment that will never come to America, you need to wake up. And know that all these things happening in Canada, in India, in Britain, and all over the place outside of America, guys, it is knocking at our door in America. And it's not a matter of if, but when it comes to your front door. And this, and the system for this, for tracking individuals, for monitoring individuals, and labeling individuals so that they will know. Again, eventually, when the Antichrist rises to power, he's going to know who's with him and who's against him. And one of the ways he's going to know that and be able to monitor that is those who reject the mark of the beast and the system of buying and selling that he has put into place. The Bible says they will be beheaded. They will be killed, destroyed, eliminated, taken out of the picture because they did not conform or comply to the system that will be put in place. And that's, again, that's what's labeled derogatory or dangerous content. The Bible, when is the Bible going to be labeled as dangerous and derogatory content and be banned from social media? No sharing scriptures, no sharing memes with scriptures in them, no Bible studies, no prophecy updates. Don't think it's a matter of if, it's a matter of when it's going to happen in full force. And guys, I'm telling you, it's coming. I can't say when it's coming, but it's coming. It could be 3 years from now. It could be 5 years from now. It could be 10 years from now. I don't know. I'm just telling you that all the writing is on the wall. And I'm telling you, this is right at our doorstep in America. I keep emphasizing America because outside of America, it's already there. It's already at their, it's not in their doorstep. It's in their home. It's already coming to their house. They are full blown into this thing. So again, as a watchman in America, I am warning you as fellow Americans, and maybe you're watching this and you're outside of America and you already know what I'm talking about. It's already at your doorstep, and it's time to wake up. And it's time to get on the right side of track of the tracks, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to be caught off guard. I want to be watchful. I want to be ready, and I want to be waiting for his return. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org. Again, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. As always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. If you've not prayed about becoming a monthly partner, guys, this is how we're able to do this. This is how we're able to, if in the event that we were removed from social media platforms and big tech and all this stuff, we're going to function outside of that. We're going to continue to keep going. So we are able to do that with partners like you. On a monthly basis, we're able to keep remaining strong year after year after year. So what we're asking you to do is pray about becoming a monthly partner. Pray about whatever your relationship is with this ministry. If it blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you on whatever form, whatever fashion, on a week-to-week basis, we ask you to just pray about what the Lord would have you to do. And you could do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. It's free. Right there, that the app is free. You can give through the app right there on the bottom, or you can give it at the main website electronically, or you can give by check or money order right there on the screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Now, guys, listen, we're going to sign off for today, but we have a full week of content. We may not take off a single day this week. And we don't normally do that. We usually take off here and there, but there is so much stuff that has come out this past week that are talking points that I think are important that we need to discuss and that we need to talk about. So be looking for us, Lord willing. We'll be back on tomorrow, and we will get you up to speed on more news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. So until then, guys, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.